cliffcentral.com. All of the fashion
lights, yeah, don't they shine so yeah, it's that time of the week again. You are on the weekly mashup with myself, Dimisha Masha, and of course my beautiful co-host, Candice Mama, and
Hello.
We're making it all Christmassy today, aren't we?
We are. I didn't even know that we were going to... I thought you were going to sing what you did at the Christmas carols. I thought
Oh, yeah. In case you missed our wonderful star turn at the Christmas carols,
we were,
I think they're going to be podcast, or are they, is there a video that's going to come out?
Oh, goodness.
Do we hope so, or do we hope not?
I thought my moves were amazing. I really did. I was like... And then I saw the video... Then I was like,
"Oh, there's a video."
My mother took a video.
Oh,
she didn't put it
okay.
on Facebook like she did all the other acts.
All right.
But
well,
it's for family use. It's like that. You know, like when I was dancing, I swear I felt the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, like I was like, I'm really good at this thing.
You were all the way.
And then
the
audience was like, "Yeah," and I was like, "Oh, I'm doing the most."
Yeah.
And then I looked at the video. My upper body did not move. It was
like
my legs
said,
doing
I mean,
the most.
Bria was very honest about that, and I felt that, you know. Some people have tried to kill our performing careers here because they've told us that maybe either we need to work a little harder for next year or maybe consider doing something other
else.
Than singing and dancing.
You know what? I don't think anyone's going to kill that dream. I'm going to die singing.
You know what? Let's
while
keep
rapping,
working at it.
Rapping and dancing.
Like I said, you know, when Rihanna came out for the first couple of years, her live performances were not that great. It's
Rihanna.
Just finding the right producer. I mean, right now, I mean, she can sing live, but she couldn't always.
Oh.
So for us, it's just, you know, if we keep working at our craft and finding the right people to support us and assist us, like the right producers, I think we could go places.
You think we should even get producers?
I think we should get producers
involved.
We should start slow with maybe a studio album and then take it from there. and see how it goes.
Wow. Okay. I don't think I'd listen to my music.
Yeah.
Personally. I don't think, you know what, I had to come to terms with the fact that singing is probably not
but
my
you were
strong...
rapping, actually.
I was semi-rapping.
Yeah.
I was like singing rapping. I don't know what
I
was doing.
When you
and then I forgot my words.
Lines, right? Yeah. Okay.
But to be fair, I was a part of the choir prior.
Yeah, okay.
So
that threw you, right?
It threw me because I was still having like other music in my head.
So do you think we would have ever been played on SABC? I mean, bearing in mind that, you know, they have a 90% music policy.
You think they'd be forced to play us?
I think they might be forced to play us. I don't know.
But
I don't know.
I don't feel like you on their good side and I'm not on their good side.
Hey,
I forgive an apartheid assassin.
There's a regime change
happening.
You had
like news every other week.
There's a regime change happening. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news, but the entire board, the COO, the CEO, everybody in that entire establishment is under fire right now. So there's an opportunity. I'm certainly going to be applying for a position, an executive position.
Oh,
why not?
Wow, all the way up, eh?
I mean, I'm way more qualified than the last COO.
This is why our ass is banned on SABC.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
that's why they won't hire us.
And then the chairman of the board, who's a professor, I mean, I know the guy's blind, but is the guy really like that blind? That, like, I don't understand. Like,
his
he didn't see
epic.
Any of that happen.
No, but I love that answer. He was
what?
Like, they asked
anything.
Him if the meeting curated, right? Because you need 8+1 to make it curate.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I didn't see if they were there.
I love that.
I was told.
That is so cool. That is like so dope.
I was like, but you know what?
Yeah,
I like, everyone was like, oh, he's playing the blind card. I'm like, I'd have played it all the way up.
Yeah. I would have played it like, all the way. I would have started crying like Oscar.
No, it'd be like, but he started well. He said he doesn't feel his rights were accepted as a blind man. And then the judge was just like,
I don't know what to say. No, no.
You know?
And then, of course, you know, our Minister of Communications came on and it just seems to me like everyone kind of just forgot everything. I mean, can you imagine?
Wouldn't you forget, though? Like, I mean, like this was a whole year of chaos. I'd forget a lot of it.
There has to be a whole thing about, like, when you're in a certain position, you can't just say, I forgot. You know what I mean? It's like, did you or did you not say something offensive on the air, right? If someone had to ask us.
Yeah. I don't remember.
And we knew that we were going into an inquiry. It would be in our best interest
to go and listen.
And make sure, right? And these guys were like, they didn't read any of their notes from the past meetings, any of the minutes, none of the contracts.
But the blind guy said it was just too long to read. You know, he needed a synopsis on that ish. Like, you know, like...
Like, yeah, man, I'm a professor, but I don't like to read.
Yeah, like,
it's
like,
too much.
Yeah, he was like, it came out in two volumes.
Because initially he was like, he needed to have it in Braille. I mean, which is fair, right?
Oh,
I mean,
it's obviously fair.
And it wasn't in Braille.
Yeah.
And then they gave it to him in Braille.
And then he was like, this is just too long.
Yeah, it's like,
y'all talk too much.
I can't,
But besides that, like, because this is our last show, like a recap, recapping your
again?
Year.
Like, we did that last
No, we didn't. We didn't recap the year properly because, you know, we couldn't really get into it. But
do I have to do it now? Okay, go ahead.
I feel like there should be like
Burn me.
Well, I don't know. Hey? You've been roasted this year. I don't think I can add any more. But
I'm looking forward to a better 2017.
Do you think Black Twitter will be kinder to you in 2017?
I think so. I think, you know, one of us, the studio guests that we have coming up, I went onto his Instagram page and I kind of just plagiarized
He's got an interesting
one
Instagram.
Great post, which was like freedom.
People
of,
loved it.
You know, I believe in freedom of speech, but I also believe in the right to block, mute, and delete. and I'm going to be using my rights
all the way.
And you know, I listened to a great Denzel Washington interview the other day where he's like, if you don't listen to the news, you're ill-informed, but if you do, you are misinformed. So a lot of people were misinformed, but there's nothing like Black Twitter to show you who really does not love you. And we're waiting for your
child. Hey,
here we go again every week.
I'm sorry, T. I just feel like, you know, we started on a bang.
What
we
about you
to,
though,
like, end.
How was your year?
It was lovely.
Yeah,
it was such a beautiful year. Yeah, what didn't happen, eh? Like, I feel like, you know what,
actually, love life. And varied one at that as
oh
well.
My god,
I just went through them.
You child. I'm not a hoe, y'all.
How's the dating
I'm
scene?
Not a hoe.
Are you still on Tinder?
Jeez, wow. Okay, thanks. Thanks, T. I'm not on Tinder, so you will not be swiping and finding me.
All right.
But I am still freely dating. Right.
What was that other one? The one that was exposed, the married people one. I was.
Oh, Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison.
I was never on Ashley Madison.
Is it?
Because you were like, what?
I was on it for.
You know, that's how rumors start.
What?
What about that other app, the one with married people? Are you still on there?
No, I didn't say you were
no,
still
I know,
on.
But it's like implied. So people on Black Twitter are going to be like, oh.
I mean, I admit that I, you know, for purposes of research, I went on it to see if it
obviously
works.
Obviously.
It didn't really work for me. I don't know if I was not really trying hard enough.
What is it working? Like, that's my thing. Like, how do you judge the
exactly
working
right?
ratio?
It's like, if I say it worked, then.
But
it,
could you?
Know,
no, but you can't go I've on Ashley of, Madison. It's just anyone, right? So, I mean, like, you've got 80,000 Twitter followers, whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of them was bound to find you on Ashley
like
Madison.
What picture would you use?
I don't know. Like, I take.
Like, what would I use? I use someone else's?
But you can't do that because that's false advertising. I'd be so mad if I was on a dating site and the guy's like, I was too famous to, like, put my proper picture.
You know what I mean?
Then get it's off like, the site.
Yeah. Don't be on the site. But we've got a very exciting
Let's
show
get
for
into
you
it.
Today.
Oh.
Our guest in the studio is one that has the ladies' tongues wagging.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never
dude.
Seen so many thirsty ladies.
In my life, right?
In my life. Yeah. We have got excitement going, so hopefully our ratings will, like, shoot through the roof. We're gonna have some live cam broadcast, right?
Should we? Should I Facebook Live?
I think
this?
We should Facebook Live. But you've probably heard that the television show Empire, and if you've never watched it, then you live under a rock, probably like myself. but there's a new sheriff in town, and he's got the voice of a sheriff as well. We've got Morocco Omari.
Even that name, though.
Morocco.
That
didn't say like he would.
Damn.
Morocco Omari.
Morocco.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I've been working on it.
But he's as hot as his name, eh? Like,
I don't know if that's fair
like Morocco's
for me.
Like kind
I don't know
hot.
If that's really fair for me to like comment on.
No, I'm not asking you. No, that was a statement. I don't know why you're commenting.
I'm not. I'm just like, okay, I agree with you. I mean, like,
you can't be the only man
really,
getting compliments in this dance studio.
No, but
studio,
he's really
too.
Big, so I don't want to upset him. And he's from Chi-Town. He was born in Chicago. I think he knows how to use a knife or something.
That is very stereotypical.
You know, I'm not trying to stereotype black people. You know, from those kind of cities. But I mean, I'm from Sosh, you know, I'm
okay,
from there.
That's kind of gangsterish.
I was robbed there. I was hijacked. So I've
in
I've
your
gone
own
to
hometown,
a point
though.
Where I'm like, just generally err on the side of caution. You know, when I see I'm like racial profiling these days. I'm like, oh, here come four black men towards me. I don't know anything could go down.
You are such a problem child.
But my brother, let's get you closer to that microphone. How are you doing, brah?
Hey, man, I'm good.
It's so good to have you in the studio. Welcome to South Africa, not for the first time. You have been taking a tour of Africa lately. Tell us some of the countries that you've been to.
My first trip was to Kenya. Six weeks in Kenya, man. Enjoyed it.
Beautiful woman.
Went down there. Oh, yeah. The women in Africa overall, man, just trumps everybody. So Kenya, went down to the slave caves of Shimani in Tanzania.
Yeah.
Ethiopia, Egypt, Ghana, Morocco, of course, Botswana, and in South Africa, man.
As a visitor from the States, what did you see was different in terms of the African countries that were sub-Saharan and, I suppose, the Saharan, Arab sort of African countries? Did you notice any major differences?
Well, I mean, you know, our people, we are more communal. We're more welcoming, you know, if that resonates. We're, you know, and even in America, you have to go to the southern states to get that kind of welcome that you get in Africa.
Yeah.
The Arab countries are real, you're kind of standoffish, man. I mean, they thought I was... The thing, I kind of morph into certain ethnic groups, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So when I was in Morocco, they thought I was Tuareg. And Tuareg are the cats, you know, the nomads you know, don't take no.
Yeah, you're like a Moor.
Yeah.
Like
right, guys, yeah.
The guys who captured Europe.
So in order to negotiate, I learned some Tuareg words, you know, Nuxamik.
Oh, what does that mean?
Too expensive.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's a good one to learn.
And so I went into it. I was like, Nuxamik. And they were like,
yeah, don't mess with that guy.
All right, brother. They came down on the price.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of get... my welcome is mad cool, man. Ethiopia, I walk around by myself
Ethiopia's
a lot.
Ethiopia's amazing.
Man. Yeah,
man,
it's great,
I love
man.
Ethiopia.
And I feel like, you know, Egypt is just mad busy. I wasn't there long enough to really get the feel of Egypt, but I'll go back to, you know, I want to sail from the top of the Nile to the bottom of the Nile.
What year were you in Egypt, by the way? Recently?
2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how was it then? Because I haven't been to Egypt for a while, and I just kind of get nervous. But, you were in Desert Storm, so you were ready for battle.
It was cool. I just got out the airport, got in a taxi and said, take me to the pyramids, literally.
Okay. Yeah.
And they looked at me like, is this dude crazy? You know, so I'm climbing the pyramids, I'm at the Sphinx. So it was cool, man. I was drinking tea with cats, man. I just go and enjoy, because if you live in fear, then, you know, you put that fear out there, then something's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. If you want to rob me, here's what you need. Let me help you out.
All right. Okay.
Because I'm not about to fight over a phone or some money, because I can replace that. You can't replace your life.
Yeah.
As long as you don't touch my family, specifically my daughters, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, everything is groovy.
I mean, that's kind of how I negotiated when I was we were cool. Me and the guys are so cool. We're meeting for drinks, you know.
Right.
Don't say
we're cool
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
But you know, when I go to Africa, I go to certain countries and I feel like Ethiopia and especially Kenya, like East Africa, for some reason, I kind of feel like, hey, these people kind of look like me. I could be from here.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any kind of countries where you felt most at home? Like, hey, maybe my people could have been from...
I would say Joburg and Mombasa, Kenya.
Okay.
You know, and Accra. Accra was great,
yes,
man.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
For the most part. And I'm still trying to, you know, I just took my DNA genealogy test yesterday.
So where are you from?
Nice.
I don't know.
Oh,
I won't
still
get,
out.
Get that back to next year because everything closes down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
America, we work through Christmas, man.
Oh, no. December.
Oh, you did it here?
Yeah,
I did it here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At Wits University, I think.
Okay. And so I'm going up to Mozambique, Namibia while I'm down here. Big Falls for New Year's.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so, yeah, man, I'm just trying to figure it out, because, you know, I think the end game I will be buying something in one of the countries of Africa.
Okay.
Oh, like a place to stay?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
You know, we got Trump in office, man. You know,
you never know, right? You might have to leave in a hurry.
I need an escape plan. Like, you know, when this blow over, I'll come back. You know? Call me when y'all need me to work, man.
I mean, you know, you mentioned that you did a DNA test and everything else,
right.
And you might be surprised at, you know, your genealogy.
Yeah.
I mean, most people don't realize that they're part Asian. You could be part Scottish.
True.
Part Mexican, actually, which could be a problem.
Hey. Right. I get locked out the country, man, for real. They're building a wall over there.
But recently you were in Botswana again in May. And you were doing something really exciting there with the people out there.
Yeah, we did an acting workshop with some incredible young actors, man, and they came in and they were just open, and it was Dumela Botswana.
Dumela,
oh, wow, Dumela.
Got to say what up to Botswana, man. But it was an incredible workshop, man. And I wish we had a more time with the actors because they were giving it, man.
Yeah, who are you out there with? Another famous American actress.
Oh well, Tasha Smith from Empire, man. Yeah. She runs a workshop in L.A. and I teach a class in Chicago.
Yeah. And of course, Tasha was in Why Did I Get Married? Yeah. 1 and 2.
Yeah. Mm.
She was the crazy lady. Is she like that in real life?
Nah, man.
She did a great acting job. Really, I totally believed it. I was like, Tasha.
She reminded you of some people.
I think we all
both
got
my
a little
ex-wives.
We all got a, how many wives you got, Tasha?
Two. Two.
I think we all got a little crazy in us, man. We can all go there. We can all tap into that.
Yeah,
you know? We know somebody that's crazy that we can imitate. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, exciting news. I mean, how long ago was it announced that you'd be joining Empire?
Well, I did this. I came in at the end of the second season.
Yes.
And as long as I didn't suck, mm-hmm. I was going to become a regular on the third season.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So that news came down, I want to say April, May.
Okay. So clearly you did not suck.
Right. People hate me out there in Twitter land, and that's great. Love y'all. They don't want me to catch Lucius and leave Cookie alone. I get that all the time.
That's hectic, though, because you're coming in, right? And you're playing this FBI agent. You're like the good
half
guy
brother.
Who's actually the bad guy.
Yes.
You're like Terrence Howard's half-brother. So.
Yeah.
Although, are you actually a good guy? Are you working on the side of good, or have you got some ulterior motives?
Well, that remains to be seen.
Ah.
Yeah. So we're not sure
what
to look for right now.
We can't give away our secrets.
Yeah.
So the way I play the character, I keep a secret in his eye that no one else knows.
Of course.
Yeah.
So there's no telling where he can go. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I mean, he's shooting as a straight and narrow because he's trying to capture Lucius. You know, but there's no telling if he can be bought or you know, or sold or what he's trying to do, really. You know what I mean?
And can we tell the listeners about your particularly interesting relationship with Lucius? You know, your characters are actually related.
Yeah. I mean, well, they know that, right?
They know
we're half brothers. By now, they should.
Yeah, they know we're half brothers. And here's a little trivia. Mm-hmm. Me and Terrence in real life were born in the same hospital in Chicago.
Oh, damn.
That's crazy.
Same year? Or
No. Oh. He's way older than me.
Obviously.
But it must be pretty cool. Like, do you and Terrence go out together? You can play his wingman. You can play your wingman.
Nah. Terrence is a really private brother, man. You know, he's a family man. And, you know, it's hard for him to go out. You know, in the street, you know. And I'm out in the streets, man. That's me.
Don't people recognize you, though? Like, especially in the States now that Empire's out.
Well, yeah, but a lot of times you just hide in plain sight. They're just like, yo, you look familiar.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, yeah, I get that all the time. And they're like, nah, son, where I know you from, my dude? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, man, people are mad at themselves
and
they get
like,
home.
Power. Yeah. I'm like, nah, I'm not on power, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Wrong show.
Oh, yeah. That's I don't even say wrong show, but I'm like,
for
nah.
like somebody else, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, so no, man, unless they recognize me, then I'm like, yeah, you got it, you know. But man, you know, they don't expect you to just be chilling.
Yeah, that's true, without an entourage.
Yeah.
So what's life like on set, on Empire? I mean, we all watch the show, we all love the show, it's exciting, but like the day-to-day, what is it like? I know it's not all glitz and glam, it's hard work.
I can say that I've been doing TV for, 18, 19 years now, and this is the most diversity that I've seen on a set, you know, and you have mostly a lot of African-American writers, African-American directors, and female directors and writers. So it's just that diversity of seeing all these, you know, people of color and different genders working on this show, man. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Because, like, I did a show a couple years ago and I was the only smoke on the set, brother. I was like, wow, man, you know what I mean? Not even the brother getting the coffee. I was the only cat, and I was like,
you were the only representative.
Yeah, I was the only representative, man.
I mean, Hollywood kind of gave me that kind of vibe. Many years ago, I went to a Golden Globe Awards, and recently I was at the Emmys, and it's always like just one or two brothers, sisters out there. But generally, it's like, you know, we live in South Africa, which is majority the other way around, majority black.
Right.
So you go to an awards function or an industry function, and you're expecting like everybody's
to
just chocolate
black.
City.
Yeah.
How, does that make your life harder or easier? the fact that you're kind of the special one, you know, like what
the
we say here. Sometimes you're the only black guy in the room, so it's like.
Well, no, I mean, I don't look at it through. That's not the lens I look through. Mm. I do my work, and you know, at some point, when you acknowledge it, it's just like, ah, this is interesting because. Mm. We are good at what we do when we're allowed to do it, you know, and all we need is an opportunity or, you know, bring in younger people to learn how to work that camera, the microphone, be makeup artists, costume designers, and to learn that trade when we're allowed to do it and when we're open to it and when you bring brought into these unions. So I stand back and it's like, okay, well, who can I help? And that's why I teach actors.
Wow.
It's like I'm teaching my people the real way to learn this craft, because we can watch certain movies, I'm not saying any names, or watch certain plays and learn bad habits, and you'll only be stuck in that box of playing certain kind of characters. Yeah. You know, you got to be able to take the shape of water and be able to, you know, take the form of a cup or a teapot or, you know, whatever. Mm. You can't just be the ghetto dude or the hood dude or, you know, we can't just limit ourselves to that. You know what I mean? You got to be able to play a president as well as a lawyer, a doctor, a FBI agent, a hitman. You want to be able to do all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and same with special effects makeup. You want to be able to be, you know, you want to be versatile. So I think we just have to change our way of thinking, you know. So when I see it, I'm like, I see the injustice. I see the unbalance. And I'm just like, okay, so how can we change this? How can we find a solution to bring more of our people in here? Because we're all not actors.
Yeah.
Because acting is a hard profession and you have to have thick skin, perseverance, and you got to work at it. You have to be a paleontologist.
Yeah.
You have to be a psychologist. You have to be, you know, charismatic and you got to be able to tell a story. You know what I mean? So.
But you've been doing this for a while now as an actor.
Easy.
I mean, I say that out of respect, out of like, oh, you've been like in the game, you know, a while. You've been in theater, and not only are you an actor, but you're a writer, you're a director, you're a producer.
Yeah.
How does that help you as an actor be a better actor when you're a writer and you're a producer and you're a director?
When you know all the...
Obviously also coming from the theater background.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like with my actors, man, they remind me of why I fell into acting, you know. So when I'm watching them and I can tell when they're in their head or when they're telling the truth and they're living that moment, you know what I'm saying? And your eye becomes keen as a writer, as a director, as an actor. Mm. You become keen to who's being real and honest, even in real life, because you're looking at people and you're looking in their eye and you can tell by their body language if they like you or if they don't. It's like, hey, brother, how you doing, man?
Yeah,
you good?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Look, I mean,
I guess I'm good.
You seem a little bit threatening right
if
now.
If I came to you like this, hey, brother, how you doing? You good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'd be like, you want to buy something, man? You want to sell me something?
It's the same line, but it's delivered differently, and then there's a different body language. Mm. So we have to see that. So when you say, when I see these brothers walking down the street, are they here to do me harm, or it's going to be cool? You know what I mean?
Mm.
So there's a way we have this innate ability to figure people out quickly. Mm. You know, and we have to. You know.
And with your influence, having been in and out of Africa and seen quite a lot of the continent, I mean, you've probably seen more than most people who live in Africa.
Yeah.
How do you bring that into your acting, into your roles? I mean, are you looking forward to writing and producing or directing any stories that are Africa-related in the future?
Yeah, I do have, because when you told me you went to Algeria, and that's a place I need to go, I have a film that I'm writing on the Punic Wars, and it deals with Carthage, Numidia fighting and during the Punic Wars against Rome, and that's present day, like, you know, Tunisia and Algeria.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you have to learn all that, you know, warrior stuff and the landscape and what was, you know what was going on in that time. And I like to touch things. I went to Rome to touch the Colosseum, you know, because a lot of stuff takes place in Rome, you know. So, you know, learning the shoulder dance in Ethiopia, you know what I'm saying, and the different customs and courtesies of different countries, you know, I can bring that to my craft, and it enriches me, and I can bring that to what I'm writing. Like, oh yeah, you know, the djembe and the, you know, the talking drum and you know what I'm saying. So it's the bata in Cuba and learning the orishas. And so you get all this information and you say, well, how can I shake this into what I'm doing? you know, because we don't see it in the regular world. You know, the Zulus down here, the
Xhosa.
Yeah, you said it. Awesome. You said it right. You said it.
I'm learning my clicks, son. I'm learning my clicks.
You do get it wrong sometimes.
It's tough. It's tough. You know, we're Tswana, so we have the
not not we. No, no, no. I'm 50. I'm 50% Xhosa.
But you know what?
Stop this.
I never see it.
Yo,
a really nice one.
I know. Yeah, no, because he's got a thing against Xhosa
women. No, I don't. I love Xhosa women. I've dated a couple, and I'm going to put that on my
CV. He married a couple.
That people will know that I've dated and I've married a Xhosa woman, so I can handle anything.
We're not for the faint-hearted.
No, not at all. But you know, as an African American, in terms of the culture that African American people have, and having come to Africa now, have you got a better sense of who you are and where you come from? And is that something that you've now taken to be more part of you? You know, and I ask that because it's always a revelation. I mean, we live in South Africa, which is at the very bottom part of Africa. So you feel like you're trekking, you're going on a trip when you go to Africa. Yeah. And you get a sense that you are where your ancestors once were. Because even us, the Bantu people of South Africa, are from a more northern part of Africa, either Central Africa or even Western Africa. And at some point we trek down. Yeah. And it always makes me feel like I just have a sense of who I am a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good question, brother. I mean, I've always had a sense of self, of who I was, and I have like a lot of African elders in the States, from Liberia, from Nigeria, from Ghana, a lot of brothers who are, you know, that I look to for wisdom and guidance a lot of times. And I'm always, I was like the ambassador of the African Festival in Chicago, and it's a big festival in Chicago that takes place over 3 days, so I was honored to do that. But yeah, every time I come to the continent, man, I learn something. I feel like I grow spiritually. It touches my soul to see the sun and the moon under the African sky, to put my waters in the Indian Ocean and in Atlantic Ocean, to walk through the slave caves in Elmina and Cape Coast, to go down the slave caves in Shimani, to feel that spirit of the ancestors. You know, anytime I can, you know, listen to the drums and the music and watch the dancers in Botswana or the Zulu, you know, Zulu brothers, you know, even in Brazil, man, Salvador, Bahia, it's just very, you know, these Afro-Brazilians, man. So it's just like anytime I can touch it, feel it, hear it, taste it, you know, it does something to my soul and my spirit. I mean, and I got a Dinkra and Kemetic symbols on my, you know, I wear that.
Dope.
I got Kemetic symbols on my back, you know, so it's just, this is who I am, you know, this is me, you know, and I think it lives within, and every, you know, anytime I feel it, you know, it makes me a stronger person, and I carry myself as a man, as a black man, as a man of African descent, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed on your social media pages, specifically on your Instagram and of course your Twitter as well, that you have a lot to say that's quite spiritual. You seem like you're
grounded.
Very deep, grounded brother. What was your journey to get there, you know? Because we didn't start there. We never start there, you know?
Oh, y'all got drinks. Y'all gonna be like,
you seem like you've been through a lot. I
bring
mean,
in the vodka.
Like, what was some of the stuff that you did before you went into acting? You said that you've been in the armed forces and that sort of thing.
I mean, I grew up with a single mother. I grew up in a drug-infested neighborhood. Drugs were always in my family. My godfather was murdered because he was a drug dealer, and they set him up on the side of the highway. I have family members that were very close to me that was addicted to crack cocaine for many years. I've been homeless. I've been kicked out of school. I've kicked off the football team. I've been in bar fights. I've been shot at 18. Jeez. I used to carry two guns in my starter jacket, man. And my professor said, yo, you need to get it together. And I ended up in the Marine Corps, you know, almost sold some narcotics at once upon a time because I didn't know. And then I was, you know, these cats wanted to hire me as a hitman at one time, and I thought about it, you know. But when I went to the Marine Corps, I thought I was tough as nails, and I went there and I found out that I wasn't as tough as they were.
Yeah.
You know.
The training is something else.
The training
run us through some of that, you know, some of the tough stuff.
I mean, you wake up, we say we wake up at 0 dark 30. you know, and we work until at night, and you would run, you would learn to run in these combat boots 5 miles with 100 pounds on your back. You know what I mean? And I was a squad leader, so everybody in my squad, if you go, I would run back and get them, and I would be carrying cats with me just so they wouldn't drop, because you don't let your man fall behind. You know, so I took it very seriously, man, and it trained me for a war. So mentally, you know, you say the mind is the strongest muscle you have, so nobody can break my will, you know what I mean? And then I was in a war in Desert Storm, and I had to dig a hole with an E-tool. It was about that big, man. 4 foot hole, and you hope to wake up. You know, you have your boy, you and your boy, one of your buddies, like, yo man, you sleep for 2 hours, wake me up, I'll sleep for 2 hours. If you get you get tired, wake me up. Yeah, a lot of times we just talk 8 hours and just until the, you know, from the sun to the, you know, the
so
moon.
So you learn
to
you learn to like go without sleep.
Yeah, you learn to hear in your sleep. I used to smell in my sleep, you know, and even when I came home from the war, I had to sleep in a certain position on my back, because Marines, we sleep with our rifles, so I'd lay back and I'd sleep like this, you know what I'm saying? And it took a while for me to, you know, be comfortable.
Yeah, I've heard stories of our own, like Konto Asizwe, MK veterans coming back and saying, a guy is a very successful businessman now. He's got a massive home and all the trappings of wealth, but he still sleeps on the floor because in the days of combat, he needed to be able to hear the heavy footsteps of the soldiers, the South African soldiers coming to get him.
Yeah.
And you just can't get past that. You know, and the PTSD, I mean, did you
suffer from
it? Yeah, I mean, I did that, like, because our cots are that big, or the hole was that big. So I'd sleep on my mom's couch. I had a room upstairs, but I had to sleep on that couch for a couple years before I moved out. You know, because it was compact, and I can hear everything in the living room. I can hear what was going on upstairs, outside, downstairs, or whatever. I had to be able to hear that. So my PTSD was, you know, I don't like people to come up behind me and touch me. I don't like to be surprised like that. You know what I'm saying? And what cured that, or what helped that, was theater, being on stage, working that aggression out. Because when I first came home, I was out in the street fighting cab drivers, just doing wild stuff, man. And yoga.
Oh,
okay.
And acupuncture. Acupuncture was big, man. Getting those needles, man. It was amazing. So, man. You know, and you know, you still deal with certain things. I don't like the air and water shows. I don't need to be in the sand for a long time, you know? Because I lived in the sand for like almost a year.
So beach holiday is not
man, it's cool. You go to the beach, you know. You know, I do it with my daughter. She loves the sand and the water. I'm like, all right, go ahead. But I, you know.
How old is your daughter?
She's seven. Well, she'll be seven in January.
All right.
And I'm going to take her to Senegal next year.
There's something about a father-daughter relationship. You know, it changes a man. How did that change you?
It softened me. It softened me a lot, man. And you know, that's my, I almost didn't get on a flight to come here because she cried 40 minutes.
Wow.
She didn't want me to go. And I've been working in Chicago, and her mom, her and her mom live in New Jersey, outside of New York. And she was just
quite
away, didn't want to let me go. And I was like, I was walking, getting ready to get on the flight, and I was like, I should just turn around and just in. I was like,
Have you brought her out to Africa? Are you planning to soon?
No, Senegal next year, next April.
Okay.
For a spring break.
That's a great
plan. That's going to be amazing.
I'm going to get her mom. If her mom has a boyfriend, I'm going to bring him to you. Because I'm trying to stay out of child support.
Oh, Lord.
That's very mature.
Make everybody happy, you know what I'm saying?
I've been thinking of taking the family to Disneyland. I'm thinking I might have to take the mom.
Yeah,
you have to. Definitely not the boyfriend.
Take the boyfriend too, trust pictures. Me. Just got, they had their own separate room, man. For real.
Yeah. But it's cool, though, because you know what we say in South Africa? There's a saying, and you must remember this. Ska bora moreki. That's what you got to tell the guy.
Let's try and say
which
it.
Which is ska bora,
bora
moreki.
Moreki.
That is, don't bore the buyer. Don't bore me. I paid for this trip.
That's right.
Every now and again, just remind me.
Y'all gotta listen.
Yeah. Listen. Are you enjoying that cocktail player?
Exactly. But that is such a power play.
That's your fourth one.
That is a power
take
play.
Take it easy,
right,
buddy. I'm paying for it.
Brother, just buy him a bottle and be like, go ahead, enjoy yourself. And when he gets drunk, he'll go to sleep. Yeah, that's his night.
So you still live in Chicago? Yeah.
I live in Chicago. I split time. I have a place in Jersey because I need to be close to my daughter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we shoot in Chicago. Yes. And I had to get a place in Chicago because that's where we are most of the time, you know, from July through March. We're in Chicago shooting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anytime I get time off, I go home to Jersey, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is it like? You know, a lot of people, we think of African Americans from Chicago, New York, or LA as like kind of a homogenous group of people, right? Brothers are not the same.
No.
Right? From any particular city.
No.
Do you find that there's a huge difference? Do you have to like adapt? Or have you been living in New Jersey for that long? Every time you go to LA, you gotta like,
it's a big difference. At,
you know, cities are, soften your voice a little bit. Can I have a latte?
Very different. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm vegan now.
Yo, son, you doing Pilates like? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. And I used to live in LA, so yeah, you can. You know, New York is Busta Rhymes. Yeah. Yo, son, what's good? How you doing? You know, it's staccato. You get in there and you walking down the street and you got this gate.
Yeah.
You know, you just
got to be going somewhere.
Yeah, you're gangster. You know?
Chicago's like, yo, it's like Common. Yo, what's good, man? How you doing?
Ah,
this is
okay.
Really laid back. Hey, man, mm-hmm. good. What's up, Rock? I see you, man. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And LA is like Ice Cube. Yo, man, my car. You know what I mean? You
know what I'm saying? I love that.
But today's been a good day.
LA cats, you know, I went to Compton and I was like, this is Compton? They got palm trees and grass.
Yes.
But it's deceiving, like, though.
What?
Oh, it's dangerous.
It's deceiving.
It can turn on you, man.
Because I did a movie with some cats and I was like this bank robber, this lead bank robber, and my whole crew were Crips. They were real Crips.
Oh.
And they were just telling me, one cat name was, his name was Gangsta Boo.
Okay.
And I was like, and he was telling me, he had his teardrop and everything. He's like, yo, was you here with the riots? I was like, nah. Yo, man, we like broke in the supermarket and just stuck it up and we were taking cars. I was like, word?
Okay.
He was like, yeah, I was 15. I was like, yo,
damn,
man.
Started early.
And then this other cat, he was 39. He just jumped up on the thing. Like, he had done this before. When we did the whole bank robbery thing in the movie, like, I saw him jump over stuff and then jump up on the counter and click the gun. Yeah. And I was like, yo,
damn,
you did this before. Yeah, man. He had like 9 shots in his body. He was one of the OGs. And, he'd done a bid and everything. He was like, yeah, I'm trying to talk to these young cats. He even took it in his throat because he had this boy. I was like, yo. So, man, so L.A. is deceivingly gangster.
Oh.
It is, right?
You go to Chicago and you go in the hood, you know you in the hood.
Okay.
Like when the old projects, like Cabrini Green and Robert Taylor. No,
it looks like one of those old hip hop
like they will disconnect the elevator so you can take the stairs up 20 flights and then in the stairway, like.
Yeah, get you there.
Yeah, what's up, player? You know, they're going to shake you down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're going to shake you down. And I'm from the West Side.
Okay.
You tell anybody you're from the West Side, oh, y'all some treacherous. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say the word, but y'all some treacherous. You know, so and then New York, man, the Bronx and parts of Brooklyn, and you just
gotta watch yourself.
Rikers Island, cats are like, they tough as nails, man, you know, but, you know, going into townships in like Cape Town, man, you know, cats
Town,
are tough,
playing,
favelas, man, favelas of Brazil, they, you know,
yeah,
you got some cats coming out of there, you know, that they don't care, like, you pull out a gun, they smile, like, that's a nice gun. What you gonna do with it?
Tell me something.
Yeah.
In the movies, we always see these drive-by shootings. Mm. I mean, in South Africa, we get out a car and we like do our business. Like, y'all like
you've
can drive
time.
By,
bah, 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 bah,
reverse. Bah, 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 bah. Is that accurate or is that just the movies?
Nah, man, that happens. Unfortunately,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
That happens, unfortunately, man. And I don't promote violence. I mean, we were having fun, but yeah, it happens. And you know, and it's by design.
Yeah.
They put these guns in our neighborhoods and they put these drugs in our neighborhoods. And they, you know, we don't have a lot of opportunities in certain neighborhoods, you know. But it's this big plan, you know, let's lock them up. We, America imprisoned more people than any other country in the world. And we have more black men. We have as many black, this is the most black men have been in prison since slavery. So cats are being locked up and they'll lock you up and cops are shooting you. you know. There are drive-by shootings. But you have to know how to navigate the world. Mm. You don't just like, oh, I'm just going to go in this neighborhood and pull out my money, you know. So you don't do stupid stuff like that, you know. Because, I mean, most devs said it, you know, some rob for sport and some rob to eat. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can't be flossing. You can't be flossing in certain neighborhoods and not expect to be touched or not to be touched. You know what I mean? Because, hey, man, you can't roll through my hood in a Bentley and, you know, jumping out in Gucci slippers, you know, with the ladies and then looking down on me and don't think, you know,
something's going to happen.
Something might just happen. But speaking of which, actually, I was going to ask you, like, let's to lighten it up a bit. What's currently your on your playlist right now? What are you listening to at the moment? Like, what's cool?
Man.
What's happening right now?
Look, I'm about to give it up to South Africa. The house music in South Africa.
That's tribal. South Africa is amazing.
House music is very dope. Now, I don't know if y'all know this.
Yeah.
But house music originated in Chicago.
Of course it did.
All right. It used to be a club called The Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be called Warehouse Music, and they shortened it to house music. Frankie Knuckles.
Yeah. It's hard sometimes.
I didn't know.
Ten City. Yeah, man. Marshall Jefferson, Adonis, a lot of these cats, man.
We were listening, by the way, we were listening to the house music from Chicago about the same time you were listening to it. We're actually born in the same year.
I was like, who's
me? I know I look a lot younger than you, but you know,
I got
that
bro.
Baby face. But it was huge. I mean, I remember being a teenager and you know, just bumping all the cats, you know, from Chicago, and that house music is what influenced that. So when you listen to our house music, it's coming straight directly from that source, and we've taken it, changed the beat up here and there, but a lot of it is still quite pure in terms of like the sound. There's a lot of like the instruments that you'd find in a 10 City song, you know, with the with the orchestrations and that sort of thing, and the tempo of the beat. We still love that old Frankie Knuckles slowish kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah,
it used to be like a, you know, for us, we were teenagers, and it was like a way of life.
Yeah,
you know, I guess like when Motown hit and when hip hop hit in New York, so house music in Chicago, man, we get dressed up, man.
What were you cats wearing then? I really want to know, because I want to find out if the fashions were similar.
We used to wear it used to be these jeans called by Jabot.
Okay.
Bow jeans, Willie wear.
Were those like the high waisted? No, were they like really
the baggy
colorful ones?
They were baggy. Z Cavaricci.
Look, hey, you don't have to be cool with us. If you made some fashion mistakes, it's okay. Everybody
Zodiacs.
Did. I had like purple Ewings and some backward purple jeans. You know, you know,
I've seen your throwbacks.
Chuck Taylors. We were. You know,
The hairstyles, man.
The high tops.
Did you have a high top?
Yeah, I had a high top.
Oh,
you had
damn.
To have a high top. It was the 90s.
Damn.
You could not have a high top.
You had a high top.
The high top is coming in, though.
Yeah, it's back.
It's back. It's completely back.
It was a time when it was like totally not cool to have a high top.
And then the afro overtook the high top, right?
Yeah.
Where everything.
It's totally back.
Yeah.
But did you guys ever like dress kind of formal? Because our house movement was quite, in those days, was quite formal. We were into like the European baggy suits, like your Lanvins, your Versaces. And you'd go to a club, literally, in a suit. We were into like linen, so it had to have that swagger or you know, a little bit of silk, you know.
Totally did that.
You like had all these chemicals in your hair to get it extra curly and extra shiny. I'm just
and
glad
greasy.
I didn't have a gold tooth,
greasy.
Though. I almost went there.
We totally did that, my man. We totally did that.
Was a gold tooth universal? It wasn't just a cutlet thing.
No. Gold tooth was like everybody did gold.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's a black thing. Anywhere you go, where there are black people, they will have gold.
I'm
so glad you don't
in their teeth.
In their teeth.
But now they're grills, right?
Yeah, they're grills. That's like over the top because like they're like in your mouth.
It does everything.
But I mean, as time went on and your musical, I suppose, tastes kind of evolved as well. Common must have been somebody that you listen to. You're still banging at the moment.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Common's dope. I mean, what I'm banging now, this brother Anderson .Paak. Man, he's a bad boy.
Okay,
kind of reminds
Google
you of like Prince, Andre 3000, Kendrick Lamar.
Oh,
I mean, he's just a bad dude. He's very well, he's not new, but you know, we're just discovering him, you know, myself included. That new Tribe Called Quest is
Yeah.
That's and there's dope. This cat Dave East, that's this hip hop artist, that's a storyteller. He's just like resuscitating hip hop along with J. Cole and Kendrick, of course.
Both those new albums are, I mean, like, this was the year where we had so many great albums come out. I was reading a musical review today, and just like, I mean, every month there was somebody new or somebody that came out with a new album, like from the stalwarts to the new guys, and every one of them was really good, you know what I mean? I was listening to the new J. Cole the other day, and I was like, wow, blown away.
He's a bad boy, man. He's a bad boy. But check that Anderson .Paak out, man.
I think we'll play out with him.
If you like that real music, that
we're
real soul.
Anderson .Paak?
No, yeah. I found him.
He's a bad boy. He's incredible, man, you know. And I like him, man. He's just, he brings that old school soul back, man. With some hip hop.
I like that.
So it's just really, it's really beautiful. I can't wait to see that brother in concert, man.
And what's your favorite song from him? Am I Wrong? Featuring Schoolboy Q.
Am I Wrong is cool.
Calm Down.
In the Room.
Ooh. Let me just get it.
In the Room is kind of dope, man. It's just you and your lady in the room.
Anderson
Anderson
P-A-A-K.
P-A-A-K.
Ah, okay.
In the Room.
In the Room.
You got, you're cute then.
You know, I don't know what the, you know, his language can sometimes be, oh, Suede is cool, but Suede is that pimp-ish. Straight up. It's straight pimp, eh?
We like a little freak in the studio.
Why not?
Language in pimp, I don't know what y'all can do.
We can do everything on the show.
We really can, like, go
crazy.
We are
barred.
Here, you know?
We are barred from other radio stations.
I've been censoring myself there.
No,
you can speak like you do at home, really. That's fine. We don't mind.
You know.
But how's the live music scene in places like Chicago and New Jersey?
New York is great because you can go to any venue, and like there's a spot, Cafe Wah, on Tuesday nights that Jimi Hendrix used to play. You know, and Tuesday nights, well, every night they got a band. It's like a funk band. They're killing it, man. You know.
Yeah.
Ashford and Simpson has a band called a bar called the Sugar Bar. So they do. There are a bunch of live music venues, man.
That's awesome.
That you can go and hear new artists and just enjoy yourself.
And being on a show like Empire, I mean, is there sort of I suppose underground pressure to know music? Because I mean, you are in a show about music.
Well, not for me.
Yeah, you play in the right? But I'm sure brothers come up to you.
You
don't let me drop a verse yet.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, outside of that, like, you know, your friends, your family, you know, random people are like, what's hot? Like, I'm asking you right now.
Well, you know what? I feel like my musicology is because I get it from my father, who, you know, he just gave me like 20,000 songs and dropped it on my external hard drive.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And my 6-year-old, her musicology is sick.
Really?
You know what I mean? So her favorite, you know, is Ella Fitzgerald. But she knows Ella Fitzgerald as well as, you know, Bach. You know what I mean? She plays the violin. You know what I'm saying? So she knows Prince. She knows Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, you know. So she hates Sade because that's my fave. I say that to my girlfriend, but she ain't messing with Sade, you know. But
she's like, what?
Yeah, but her musical acumen is dope, man. You know, so... Yeah, man, I love music.
I mean, do you get a lot of African sounds, especially South African sounds out there?
Fela's my man.
Yeah?
I don't get a whole lot of South African stuff unless I know, you know, I mean, like I'll go on YouTube and put in, you know, African, you know, South
Black
African.
Coffee is someone you should check out.
I'll put him in.
He just did a remix for Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
In Carmen.
Okay.
So
definitely
he's definitely big out there. And what was that other song again? The big one?
We Dance Again.
Dance Again. Dance Again. But you know, I mean, like generally, I'm in love with South African house music, and you know, also the influence of the old stuff. You know, your Huma Sekelas, your Kaifas Semenya.
Yeah.
You should check those guys out.
Yeah, I know Hugh.
I got Hugh. Yeah, check out Kaifas as well. He's written a couple of soul things as well out there. And did you listen to soul, by the way, growing up? Soul music, of course you did, right?
Come on. Which black person did not listen to soul?
You never know.
I'm from Chicago, brother.
Hey, listen,
we would have booted you off the show.
I've met brothers. I've met brothers who like never listened to soul.
Okay? Which brothers are these? Where were they raised?
I'm about to test you.
In LA.
Okay, test him.
Yeah, go on. Test
you ever hear Donny Hathaway's rendition of Yesterday, the Beatles?
Yesterday.
I haven't heard that one.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Check that
we
out.
Did a Donnie Hathaway rendition on Sunday for our Clifmas Carols. We did This Christmas.
This Christmas.
You heard about that.
I know This Christmas. Yeah, but yeah. I know that song.
I thought I did a pretty good job.
You know, you know, the fireside is blazing bright. And then he just takes it there. This Christmas. I thought I was great. Nah. But, you know, the jury's out. So, you know, my auto-tune got
let me just state that in rehearsals, we have a South African Idols judge who's our boss here.
Oh, really?
So he was in a different room. So we're rehearsing. We're going all out. He comes and he's like, stop the music. We were like, ooh. Then he's like, that sounds awful. Absolutely terrible. And we were like, oh, dear. Yeah, we are going live in like 10 minutes. Like, but the audience loved it.
There you go.
And they loved it. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Don't go find it on YouTube.
Don't
do that.
There's a brother I've been meaning to find, and I cannot find this particular song from O'Brien. Where's that O'Brien tune of mine? Still Water Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, I've been looking for that, you know. But, you know O'Brien?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Is this who?
He used to have the curl, right?
Yeah, he used to have the curl.
You know, is he from back in the day?
Yeah.
It was before your time, baby.
Obviously. A lot of issues before my time. I'm kidding.
Lenny Williams was one of my favorites.
Lenny Williams.
I Love You is my all time favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it. Rap it rather.
Because I love you.
Don't sing it. I love you.
Lenny Williams is dope. Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, of course, man.
Al Green.
Ah, come on.
Come on.
You know, what I liked about Teddy, right? He was kind of rough. Like, he'd tell you softly the first time, like, turn off the lights. Yeah. And then if you didn't hear it, turn them off. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
It just doesn't work nowadays as well. Yeah. It's like you could get a lawsuit. You know, someone could sue you or accuse you of rape or something. You know.
Oh, my God.
Can't be
Teddy Pendergrass and chicks nowadays.
It depends how you do it, T.
By the way, you were talking about Compton just now, and I got the story to tell you. The one time I used to do this television show, it was a magazine program, you know, affluent lifestyles of the rich and famous, sort of set in South Africa. We go around the world, and we were in Compton. We interviewed Coolio. So my director and my producer are very white from South Africa at the time, and I'm like, let's interview Jay-Z. No, let's interview, you know, anybody. They're like, let's interview Coolio. And he was cool at some point. But bear in mind, this is like 2007. Coolio hadn't released anything for the longest. So we go to Compton to Coolio's house. And it's that kind of show where you stop right there.
Yeah. You go to Compton to Coolio's house.
Yeah, we did.
Why is Coolio still living in Compton, man?
Well, go ahead. It was the strangest thing, man. Like, I'm telling you now, it was like we got to Coolio's house, and like, I don't want to badmouth Coolio, but you know when a brother's like single.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, you know there are no chicks like, coming up in here. You can tell by the bathroom when you walk
there's
in,
no
and there's that
purine,
toilet
nothing.
Paper that was long finished. It's just that, you know, like
the paper,
the cardboard.
Yes.
That's what it was. That was a situation.
There was no woman coming in there replacing toilet rolls.
So anyway, Coolio goes off in this interview, and he's just way too gangster for us. So we just switch off the cameras, but we don't want to tell him because you're scared.
Yeah, and you're Compton.
I was the only black guy there, and I'm speaking like this kind of English. So Coolio, tell us about it.
Right.
And so we just decided, listen, you know, since we're here and we didn't really get a great interview, let's ask Coolio if maybe he's got some weed. You know,
obviously.
Yeah, I wanted to try the chronic.
You gotta try that kind of weed.
And Coolio obliged. He like called up his homies. First time in my life, I saw cats wearing big ass shorts and long socks and slippers. I was like, what the hell, right? Yeah. But this was a big guy, roll up in an S500 Mercedes, seat all the way back.
Yeah.
And it was the best chronic I ever took. I never smoked again. I was like, that's it. I've reached the mountaintop.
Like, you didn't want to spoil that sensation.
I didn't want to spoil that.
In fact, other weed.
In fact, I dislocated my leg when I was on that particular trip.
Oh, wow.
That's how good it was.
I went to the Man Chinese Theater, and 300 had just come out,
Yeah.
And there I was after watching the movie. you know, I still blazed out.
You try to imitate.
And I was in my underwear, you know, and this is Sparta, this is Sparta. And then I slipped on the carpet in the middle of one of my kicks. I was like, the worst thing I was thinking about was, how's the ambulance going to come pick me up in my underwear? You know, like, that was the only thing I was concerned about. So, yeah.
That's why you need to always have clean underwear. Didn't your mother teach you?
I was in clean underwear at the
you
time.
Always look, you need favorite. To look kind of cute, like, just in yeah. case the ambulance could pitch up. Always. Always wear clean underwear and matching underwear.
But mano a mano. I mean, like, okay, LA's got some of the best strip clubs ever.
Nah.
Okay, maybe it was just LA that I've been to.
Okay, Atlanta. What's your recommendation? Atlanta.
Oh,
Atlanta. It's like an Olympic sport in Atlanta.
Oh, I'll check it out.
It's
thank
an
you
Olympic
very much.
Sport
thank
in
you
Atlanta.
Very much. I'll go.
I mean, so I heard.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course.
Obviously.
I'll go do it for anthropological purposes.
Yeah.
How do they do it there in America?
Some research.
Yes, of course.
Morocco, where do people find you? On your Twitter handle, Instagram handle, Facebook?
Instagram is morocco.omari.official. Yeah. Morocco Omari at Rock One, I think, on Twitter.
I don't think there's Morocco. I think it's Rocco.
Yeah, some Rock O. Yeah,
Rock Omari.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
And then the Facebook is just there's a fan page. Morocco
and do you
Omari.
Respond to your fans?
Oh yeah, man. Except for the you
haters,
know,
obviously.
Not the haters, but it's just
how
you get
hectic
crazy
is that
people.
In the States? Like people seem to be like quite hateful sometimes to stars in America. I've noticed that. Like people come up and say things, and you guys have to have bodyguards at a certain point just because people just want to roll up on you, right?
Well, I mean,
am I wrong?
Fortunately, I haven't had that problem so far. Knock on wood. You know, yeah. I mean, people who know me just know I'm just a real cat.
Yeah,
I'm just a real dude. I ain't trying to put on any kind of airs of, you know, as they say, be Hollywood. Mm. But yeah, some people do have stalkers. Some people do have haters. You know, and it's, I just take it all in one stride, man, day to day. Put one foot in front of the other and keep walking forward. I can't speak for all the other celebrities, man, because some aren't really nice. I've met celebrities and I'm like, dude, are you a prick, man?
Yeah.
It doesn't, what's wrong, bro?
You know, I recently did an American show and it was like, the producer was like, he doesn't shake hands.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff.
How do I say hello? But anyway.
The worst is when people, oh, let me get your number, man. I need to call you, son. And then you see him again. Let me get your number, dog. I'm going to call you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, dog.
Well, that happens.
Stop
never,
it.
Never mind, dog. Let's just not call
each other.
Let's just
not and then say we did.
It's cool, right. Let's just see each other like we see each other and say hi.
Well, we've run out of time.
That was an incredible show.
Thank you for being on the show. Wish you all the best, and we're definitely gonna look out for more of your projects. Anything upcoming other than Empire as well that we should look out for?
I'm gonna be in a strip club.
Oh, okay, well,
are you gonna
we'll
be doing the stripping?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Just give us the time, the date, the amount. We'll be there.
We're gonna play out with a song that I'd like you to check out. Here's In Common, Alicia Keys featuring Black Coffee.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye. See you next year. CliffCentral.com.